It's an honor to stand up here. Recently we have had, in my opinion, two of our members have given the best sermon I've ever heard out of either one of them, and they're both good speakers. And that's encouraging to me because they're young, and I can't help but thinking they'll continue to get better. And it's encouraging to me to think that you would honor me to let me stand up here and say my words also. I don't recall what prompted exactly this exact sermon that I have this morning. I do know that I came up with my catchy title, though, sitting right over there while somebody else was speaking. I'm one of 24. And I like to put that out there into the bulletin so that you can contemplate, you know, one of 24, what's he talking about today? And so I like you thinking about that. And I hope I don't take this in a direction that would disappoint you. And I imagine that you probably have a pretty good idea what I'm going to talk about anyway, just by that phrase. There could be any number of things that one of 24 could make you think about, but the most obvious one is what? 1 hour in a 24-hour day, right? And that is what I'm going to talk about this morning. Of course, not just 1 hour, but a very specific hour, this hour, or even more specific, this hour that comes each week at this time. I could make this about how small of an effort it really takes to take this small portion of your day and a small portion of your week and come here and spend it with people. And that wouldn't be a bad sermon. And it's also true. And I also suppose that that when we finally adjust to the post-pandemic schedule that we have here, I'll have to redo the title with either 2 of 24 or maybe the more confusing 2.5 of 24 or 10.42% of 24 or something like that. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, though, when we get to be here a little bit longer than an hour. But today we're going to cover how important this hour is. I'm probably not going to tell you anything that you don't already know. I am going to put it into a presentation, though, that hopefully will illustrate why our gathering is critical on our spiritual journey. When we had our COVID separation, beginning almost a year ago now, it might be almost exactly a year ago now, many of us were reminded of how much we miss when we don't actually get together in a gathering of people like this. So this morning I want to cover 5 key words to present my thoughts, and those words are listen, speak, learn, praise, and honor. At this moment, you are literally hearing the voice of Jason. You're hearing me. And from my thoughts come these words. When I share them with you, they provoke thoughts in your mind. Hopefully, all these things that we do when we say these things to one another and provoke those thoughts draw us a little bit closer to God. So I am physically, literally, right here in this room. And you can hear my voice. God cannot literally speak to you in a voice that you can literally hear. But he speaks to you nonetheless. He speaks to you through the words in his Bible. The Bible is his voice. So we come to our first key word. Listen. There are many times during the service that you can listen, but the one that I'm speaking about right here is listening to the reading. In God's inspired word, he actually says the things that he wants us to do to show the way to obedience to him. I have 4 passages illustrating the simple task of reading, that it's actually not simple. It's a critical part of the service. Hebrews 1:1-2 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. So the New Testament reading that we do each week usually has either words of Jesus or words that are given to us from direction of those who were appointed by Jesus to teach us about Jesus. And though we read the words of the prophets, it is the words that we read out of the New Testament that properly guide us toward heaven. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, which is a favorite verse of many, I hear, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How could we possibly obey anything that we aren't told? If we don't know about it, we can't obey it. So without the scripture, we would be lost. We wouldn't have a way to even seek. And with it, we can become thoroughly equipped to be ready to serve him. In Romans, the 10th chapter, Paul is letting his brothers and sisters know that he wants all Israel to obey the good news, to obey the gospel. And in 14 and 17, we hear how important it is to not only hear it, but to share it too. And those words are this. Romans 10 and 14 starting, how then can they call me on the day they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can we hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet who bring news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message heard from the word through the word about Christ. Again, you can't believe in something that you don't know about. You can't hear about Christ unless you're told. Someone has to be sent to spread the gospel. That someone is you. It's me. It's us. This group. And faith comes from hearing that message, listening to that message. John 10, 27 through 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. When we hear this, we receive a great promise, eternal life, when we hear this message. This is Jesus talking here. And he's just explained how he and the Father are one. And he's speaking about the sheep, we, the sheep, the humble sheep. And I like to put voices on it. And I'm no voice actor, but I picture something rich and touching when he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You need to listen to his voice, things that he's saying to us. So God does have a voice for us. And during our worship service, the one who reads, in a sense, becomes God's voice as they say aloud the inspired words of our Father. And that, my friends, is very humbling. We know that God speaks to us and we then listen to these words to better our understanding. And he's also fair to us, though, because he gives us a way to speak back. And that is our second key word, speak. We, of course, speak through prayer. One of the difficulties that I found in this sermon is with these five key words, there are actually an abundance of verses that I could use. But here are a few that just talk about prayer. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Jeremiah 29 and 12 and 13 says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And finally, Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. There are many reasons for prayer. A very broad title over two of them, though, are to give thanks and to make pleadings for those things that we desire the most. If our conversation would be one way, we would lose that ability to verbalize our thoughts to God. I've been through therapy a couple of times. And honestly, I think the best thing about therapy is just saying it. What's on your mind? What's troubling you? It's not necessarily even the things that were said back that helped you get past it. It was just the fact that somebody else listened to your problems and you feel like you've unburdened them. Which is even stronger so, exactly like that in prayer. You unburden your thoughts and give it all to God when you speak to him. And the comfort is in knowing that he welcomes us, hears that, and literally provides comfort to us. The next on our list is learn. We learn in class study. We learn by listening to the read scripture. And you may have noticed, of course, that each one of my 5 points are following along with something that we actually do in our service. We learn when we speak to one another, and specifically what I'm talking about is we learn when we preach or when someone preaches to us. We're commanded in Romans 14 and in 1 Thessalonians 5 to build up one another. And the one easy way to do that, of course, is to speak encouraging words to one another. When you're hearing a sermon, even lessons that are hard to hear because they admonish either the congregation or perhaps maybe you picked out something in it that feels like it's specifically admonishing you, you have to realize that that's still encouraging because that admonishment is pointing out something that you need to do a little bit better in God's eyes. When Jesus proclaimed what is sometimes called the Great Commission, he sent the disciples out and he gave them these words in Matthew, the 28th chapter. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Specifically, they and we who are followers of Christ, we have an obligation to spread this word. And that is why our duty to stand here and preach to one another, to pick a scripture out, to be read to the congregation, something that we just can't take lightly. And I'm not saying that any of us do, but I just like to be reminded of how important it really is as we share our thoughts and share our teachings with one another. My own sermons are often prompted by words that I hear from somebody else's well-thought-out sermon. And I apologize to you speakers if you see my eyes glazed over every once in a while. Just know that what you've done is you've touched my heart and made me think about something that I want to say, and I promise I come out of that very quickly. If what your speaker says is true to the scrutiny of truth, I believe that what you hear is another instance then of God speaking to you. We talk up here frequently about, you know, we're inspired. We're inspired to say the things that we're going to say. He helps us find the word to teach you. He helps us find the words to say to one another, to encourage one another, and to draw ourselves closer to him. So far we've seen how important this hour is because we listened to the words, we talked to God, and we learn from the words he has given us. Now, many of us thoroughly enjoy the next part, and definitely it's one part that we can participate in every time we are here, and that is praise. It's perfectly fine if you surprise me, but of a show of hands, who out there really can't stand music at all in any form? Music moves us, touches our hearts. The harmonies, especially in a very well-written song, can chill you. The words can bring you to tears. Happens often. At least it does with me and another song leader I know. If we are created in God's image, would you think that he doesn't feel those same emotions when we sing to him? Or even if it's not the exact same, what I know is that God wants and deserves the glory and praise. And a huge way to express that to him is through song. I'm going to go through some quick verses here about singing, and I want to get all the words in with a short amount of time, so I'm not going to give the references. If you want them, you can contact me later. You'll recognize that most of these are written appropriately in Psalms. Come, let us sing for the joy of the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I, whom you have delivered. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to his name, for that is pleasant. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. And praise him for his surpassing greatness. I am grateful for the gift that we've been given, that is song. I'm grateful that we've been given something that can move us so much and praise God at the same time. We all have beautiful voices. Just ask my God about that. If you don't think that's true. And when we come together and sing together, those voices, they blend beautifully, which of course makes me think blending, rich and rare. I think that's the last song in our book, isn't it? The last key word is this, honor. What is honor? To regard with great respect and to adhere to what is right. 1 Samuel 3:20 has these words. The Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. 2 Timothy 2:21 has these words. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from that which is dishonorable, he'll be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. And 2 Peter 3:15, these words. But in your hearts, honor Christ, Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. That's the honor that I'm speaking about this morning, honoring Christ and honoring that sacrifice that he made for us. We honor God when we obey his commandments. We honor his plan when we take communion in memory of our Savior. Frequently during that portion of the service, we hear a certain passage used a lot and appropriately. And that comes in the 1 Corinthians. And even though many of us have heard it to the point of memorization, its significance should never be diminished. Because it's very strong. Let me read to you, starting in verse 27. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. To eat and drink carelessly is to be guilty of his death. That should really get our attention, honestly. Because casually doing that motion without thought, I'm sorry to point it out to you and have to point it out to myself, it's sinning. Our minds as humans, they wander. A lot of things are on our minds. Things that we're going to do, things that we have done, things that want to distract us. That's why that moment is so critical. To pull that stuff out of your mind and honor God. Honor your Savior that made that sacrifice for you. When we do that with reverence, God feels it with all of our heart. That's the honor that I'm speaking about. This hour that we spend here each week may be the most important hour of the 168 hours that each week brings to us. I've reminded you how important it is to remember that as we hear from God, speak to God, sing songs of praise to God, we learn from God, and we honor him in his greatness. It isn't that we don't do this the rest of the week, but here we gather as a congregation and we gain strength in numbers. We gain wisdom from sharing ideas. I can't count the number of times I've been sitting in class and we go over a verse and somebody says something about it and I go, poof, I've never looked at it that way and you are absolutely right. And it's amazing that I can have been in the Bible most of my life, which is, you know, over 50 years where I've been reading it myself and still learn about it. It's amazing. But we take this time to build each other up strongly, and then we go out into the world. We take our knowledge to protect ourselves from the temptations of the world. We lead by example. But with our knowledge, we can share the news, the good news, with those who are lost. So that's why this hour is so important. To close today, I'm going to remind maybe one person, I don't know where my wife is listening right now, of someone in our past, somebody that was a speaker at one of our churches when we lived in Illinois. Funny. I loved him greatly. He pestered me a little bit when I was not a very strong Christian. A young man that cared more about myself and the world than I did about my God. And this is what he said on every invitation. First of all, let me interrupt myself. This is very strange. This would affect me so much. This man has passed on. But he had such a profound effect on me that I guess he's just brought me to tears. But his question was this. Are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? Should you be a child of God? Should you want to be a child of God? Do you know in your heart that that's what's right? You need to make that change. You need to make that acceptance. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God, are you pained in your heart? Is something affecting you that would affect you on your journey through life? Don't let that happen. Unburden yourself. Share those things with those that love you most, us. If there's anything that we can do along those lines, please come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.